Welcome back to World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Nate Abarrea is my name. Tweet me at WST and tweet all of us at World Soccer Talk. Roy Yates of the LFC Supporters Club here in America and the Reds in America website is with us. And Roy, I'm going to talk to you now about your pathway to the States. When did you actually move first off across the Atlantic?
I first came over in 1987. I was here for a couple of years, and then I went back to Europe. I didn't actually go back to the UK. I used to work for British tour operators, so I was living and working in Spain in the summer and Austria, skiing in the winter. And then I was on the cruise ships for UK cruise operator until 2000, and then I officially came off the ships in 2001, and that's where I sort of settled down full-time in South Florida. But I've actually had a house in South Florida since 1987.
So skiing in Austria and cruising the waters around the European continent doesn't sound like a half-bad gig, I got to say, Roy.
It beats working.
So talk about the original idea of starting up a Liverpool supporters club, how your role grew, and just the overall concept of what you tried to start up and what you've been a part of.
When I settled down first in 2001 in South Florida, as far as I know, there was only three or four Liverpool supporters clubs then. There was obviously New York and Boston, Chicago, and there was nothing in South Florida. So we started in Fort Lauderdale in 2001, and obviously that grew from there. But what was difficult was I was getting emails and phone calls from people in areas which really, there was no traditional hub of Liverpool supporters, you know, place like Iowa and Hawaii, whatever. So I thought it might be nice if we try and get everybody together. So that was sort of the idea, getting Reds in America up and running. So basically, every week I send out a newsletter which goes out throughout the US, Canada, and actually throughout the world, and just keeps people updated about what's going on, not only in the US, but back home as well. And it's grown from, obviously, about 10 people in South Florida. And we have about 10,500 on the email list now throughout the United States and overseas. So it's been great. It's nice when Liverpool come over to the U.S. to meet some of the people and obviously put a face to an email address, because there are Reds in every single state in the U.S. now.
Well, and shout out to a couple of people who are on that email. There are a couple of groups, I should say, that are on that email list. My good friends from LFC San Francisco watching down there at the Keysar Pub, as well as the folks I got to actually watch a match with back in October way down in San Diego, the LFC San Diego Supporters Clubs. Definitely all about the Reds in America website and the email newsletter that you speak of, Roy. So cheers to you on those fronts, without a doubt. And I got to ask you now about one of the other main things that you do, and I should say one of the coolest things that you do, which is helping to bring LFC legends to America for everything from meet and greets to actual speaking engagements. And I understand there's one coming up real soon down in Florida. You care to tell us about this?
Yeah, absolutely. This Saturday at the Harp and Celt in Orlando, we've got former Liverpool captain and Republic of Ireland legend Ronnie Whelan will be speaking. I've actually worked with Ronnie many times, and he is one of the best. Great talker, very entertaining, and you can pay on the door. It's $20, and it's well worth it to me, a Liverpool legend. And even, I've got to be honest, if you're not a Liverpool supporter, you're not even Irish, you'll still enjoy the night. Some great footy stories. That's this Saturday. From 8 o'clock, pay on the door at the Harp and Celt in Orlando. But as I say, Ronnie is one of many we've brought over, or I've brought over since 2001. How I actually started was when I was cruise directing the cruise ships. My very last cruise was a wonderful thing for me. It was the reunion of the 1966 England World Cup winning team, because actually the cruise coincided with the final game at Wembley Stadium against Germany. So the company I was working for, Air Tour, Sun Cruise at the time, decided to put on this cruise sailing from Southampton down northern France down to Spain, the Canary Islands and back. So we had 10 of the former players on board for the whole 2 weeks. So, you know, the chance to sit down, watch the 1966 World Cup final with Jeff Hurst on one side, I mean, Gordon Banks on the other. I mean, that's certain dreams are made of those situations, and it was absolutely wonderful. And it was, you know, obviously, God rest his soul, Alan Ball was on board, and he was just terrific. It was just a great 2 weeks. Then after the cruise, I decided, well, maybe we can replicate this by bringing the players over to the US. So in 2001, in October, we brought five of the former players over. That was George Cohen, Alan Ball, Jack Charlton, the great Roger Hunt. And what we did various venues in Florida. Unfortunately, it was very bad timing. Not that we could do the battles, because obviously September 11th hit in September, and the event was in the October, so it obviously cut down ticket sales. So it was a tough learning curve, that one, but it couldn't be helped. But great memories, which you couldn't buy, and you know, all those guys, absolutely wonderful. And then after that, the following year, we brought over Emily Hughes, and he was just terrific. And then Tommy Smith, we've had Ian St. John, Ian Callahan, David Fairclough, just legends after legends. And they're all fantastic in their own ways. And obviously some of the stories they bring to the events, they're just wonderful.
Now, Roy, I want to ask you about something, because you are a Scouser through and through. You are a supporter of Liverpool as your boyhood club and everything that goes with that. A lot of the people in these Liverpool supporters clubs here in America are obviously not Scousers who grew up on Merseyside, who may not know the deep history of all these players and know the history of this club. What does that mean to you, being the sort of ambassador to this new wave of Liverpool fans and people who want to be true Reds here in America, to be able to introduce them to names like Ronnie Whelan, or introduce them to any of those names that you bring up? What does that mean to you?
Well, I find it amazing, first of all, that the newer fans to Liverpool, obviously the Americans, they're so passionate. I mean, there was a game in Boston last time Liverpool came over, and I was in the crowd, and obviously everybody's singing, and there was these young American lads next to me. They knew every word of every verse of songs I didn't even know, and I've been supporting Liverpool nearly 50 years, and I thought, that is absolutely incredible. You know, to have that passion and the fervour to learn all these songs. And some of the songs were quite obscure. I knew them, but I don't even say I knew the words 30 years ago. It's all obviously on YouTube now. You can pick up all the words or whatever. But I think it's absolutely terrific. And you're talking about, obviously, Liverpool legends coming over. A lot of the younger American supporters won't know. But one of my proudest moments was, we brought over Ian Callahan, obviously Liverpool's most appearances, I think 856 appearances for Liverpool, and he'd never done really anything like this before. And the first venue was Boston, and he was concerned, because obviously most of the fans, younger fans, he thought that would never heard of him. So he was expecting 20, 30 people to be in the bar. We walk in the bar, there must have been 150 people, and I'd say of those 150, 100 were young American fans, and the place just went ballistic when he walked in. And I think he was tearing up. He couldn't believe it. Yeah, you know, obviously people had gone on YouTube, they'd gone on Wikipedia, whatever, and they realised what a legend he was. And on the night, also in the bar, was Steve Nichol, and he was still a coach at New England then. And Steve actually said to me, he goes, not many players I'd come drive down for, but say Ian Callahan, he's a Liverpool legend, and he is a legend. And on that night, the young American fans really learned what support Liverpool is all about, the history. You know, Callie spoke about Shankly, Paisley, Fagan, you know, the good days, the bad days, and he was just wonderful. And that's what being a Liverpool supporter is all about. It is the history and the passion of the club.
That's absolutely beautiful. And I got to ask you real quick, Roy, in regards to the upcoming event with Ronnie Whelan. We've only got actually about a minute before we got to head to another break here, so we got to keep this relatively brief. But Ronnie Whelan, to me, is such a fine microcosm of Liverpool's relationship with Ireland and Irish Liverpool supporters and what Liverpool means in Ireland and even to Irish folks around the world who support Liverpool. Talk about how special that is, that relationship. We talk about international touches with Liverpool, but Liverpool and Irish supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Ronnie, I won't spoil it for those people going, but Ronnie talks about his early days growing up in Ireland. Basically, Ronnie was a Manchester United supporter growing up, because I think in Ireland you're either a Liverpool supporter or you're a Manchester United supporter, and that's about it. And on a weekly basis, when you know the Liverpool play in Anfield, the number of Irish supporters come over is just incredible. It really is. And Ronnie does lots of talks in Ireland even now, and he does commentating on RTE, and he's still treated like a hero back in Ireland, and we have been blessed with great players from Ireland, as we've been blessed with great players from Scotland as well. And to be a Liverpool supporter, for me, as you just said, it doesn't matter where you're from. You could be a Scouse like myself, you could be Irish, Scottish, American, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you love the club, you love the club. As simple as that.
Continuing this on the other side of this break, Roy Yates and yours truly, Nate Abarea, right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Welcome back to World Soccer Talk Radio here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarea, your host of this fine program. Tweet me at NateWST and tweet all of us at World Soccer Talk. Subscribe to us on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. And check out the website, worldsoccertalk.com. If you're looking for an advantage when betting on soccer, I got to let you know about a unique open betting platform called FanBet. With FanBet, you can follow your friends and top-ranked bettors to get a wealth of betting tips to help improve your real money bets. Here's how it works. FanBet runs a weekly contest called Fan Play. Members place bets on Premier League games using betting credits. The game data is analyzed and the top bettors are ranked according to their success. FanBet allows you to see live picks and betting history of these players by following winning bettors. Logic implies that you will become more successful. Sign up today for your free account at fanbet.com. You log into your FanBet account, you'll see a live stream of picks from winning bettors, each of them ranked based on their average return from their last five bets, and then you can add any pick to the odds tracker, and FanBet will compare leading bookmakers to give you the best available odds for your money. It's as simple as that. Improve your soccer betting returns with FanBet.com. Another huge thank you to FanBet for their support of World Soccer Talk Radio. Roy Yates is our guest in this edition of the program, talking all about his role as the president of the Florida branch of the official Liverpool Football Club supporters club, as well as the Reds in America website and email newsletter. And it's time to dip into the memory bank here and take a little trip down memory lane with you, Roy. And I got to ask you, going way back, you talk about coming up on 50 years of supporting this club. What is your favorite early life LFC memory? When you dip back into the 1970s, what's your favorite Liverpool memory from that period?
Tough one, so many. The 1974 FA Cup final against Newcastle was great, because 3 years earlier we'd been beaten by Arsenal in 1971. Charlie George, I mean, some the older listeners will know Charlie George, but he scored the winner in extra time, and it broke my heart. I mean, I was only 7 or 8 at the time, and the FA Cup then was the pinnacle, and to lose in the final was terrible. So then to go and win it 3 years later, and we didn't just win it, we absolutely destroyed Newcastle on that day. We played some fantastic football. In fact, some experts think it's one of the greatest performances in an FA Cup final ever. Newcastle had a guy called Malcolm McDonald playing in the front, and before the game he was saying what he was going to do to the Liverpool defence, what he wasn't going to do, and Liverpool just dominated him and Newcastle the whole game. That was great. And then obviously the 1977 European Cup final in Rome, Before that, the quarter final when we beat St Etienne at Anfield, when David Fairclough super sub scored, and about 10 minutes to go, I mean that was just wonderful. And I've been actually lucky to be in David's company many times, and it's just great. I mean, obviously he's very proud to be part of Liverpool's rich history, and that was a great game. So probably the 74 Cup final, 77 Etienne, and the 77. European Cup triumph in Rome.
Still with us, and we transition into the modern era after taking a nice trip back to the 1970s there. Roy, you're still on the line with us, yes?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, so we jump into modern times and give us after that nice trip back to the 1970s. We bypass all sorts of good stuff. Obviously, we could talk about the 1980s for hours between us, but let's talk about modern LFC history. Favorite modern memory. I have a feeling we may be heading to Turkey for this one.
Yeah, obviously I was very lucky to get to Istanbul. I was there with a friend and my brother, and simply the best night of my life. I don't think there'll ever be another game like that. For many reasons, the day itself, it was a beautiful day in Istanbul. The atmosphere before the game in Taksim Square was just incredible. I actually met a lot of friends I hadn't seen for years and years, and there was something special about that day. You know, there was no way we were going to get beat, and even at 3-0 down, I still felt, I can't say optimistic, but I still felt that something special might happen. And obviously, when the first and second went in, it came to fruition that it was, in my opinion, the greatest night in Liverpool history.
What do you remember most about the build-up to that match? Because I've heard so many stories from actually a lot of the folks who, the likes of Derek Ray, Tommy Smith, and Janusz Mihalik, who were out there for 2 weeks on this rooftop in Istanbul, actually working for the old ESPN press pass back in 2005. The stories of how the thing built up, it was this two-week build-up, and Liverpool fans were there in the thousands for, no joke, like 14 days in the build-up to this game. What do you remember about that aspect of it? I've heard so many great stories from Derek, Tommy, and Janusz, and so many other stories from Liverpool fans who were there. What do you remember most about the build-up to that thing?
Well, I remember leaving South Florida, and myself and brother, our friend, we flew from Miami. I think we went via Dusseldorf, and we arrived in Dusseldorf, and it was like every Liverpool fan from the four corners of the globe had arrived in Dusseldorf at the same time. There was guys from South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, South America, obviously the US. And it was almost like we were going on the Holy Grail and we'd all congregate at once, ready for the final push to Istanbul. And it was absolutely incredible to be in that airport that day, the flags and the singing from around the world. And then, obviously, once we arrived in Istanbul, I've never seen anything like it. You know, Taksim Square, all the flags. I've got to be honest, and people have said this, on the day running up to the game, two, 3 hours in the afternoon, I never saw one AC Milan fan. So I don't know where they were. It was just, there must have been 40,000 Liverpool supporters in Taksim Square. Incredible.
It was Scousers and Reds from around the world, for that matter, taking over Istanbul for 14 days, it seemed, based on all the stories I've heard and pictures and videos I've seen. And then came the match. Then came the match itself, and Paolo Maldini scores that goal 51 seconds in. And talk about, before we even get to them being down 3-0, talk about that gut punch 51 seconds in off that free kick from Andrea Pirlo. And there's Maldini, of all people, the ageless Paolo Maldini at the top of the box, smacks home this bouncing volley past Jerzy Dudek. I remember it vividly. What do you remember about that gut punch feeling in the stands at the Ataturk that night?
Well, I think it came so quickly in the game that it was hard to take in. And I've got to be honest, I wasn't overly bothered because I just thought, well, we've still got 90 minutes to pull this back. So it was a bit of a shock, but I never at any stage thought that going 30 minutes later would be 3-0 down. I just thought, okay, it was a bit of a sucker punch, but onwards and upwards. So no, I wasn't overly concerned at all.
Well, then came the divine Kaká turning into one of the greatest passers of all time for the rest of that first half. A lot of people forget a Sammy Hypia header early in that game that was actually straight at Dida, that if it had been either side of Dida, surely would have tied the score at one. Then Liverpool had a very valid penalty claim that was then countered out on by Milan, and they ended up scoring their second goal seconds after that penalty claim from Luis Garcia and Milan Baroš and the Milan box, Kaká assisting Hernan Crespo, and the third goal just absolutely exquisite with that chip over Jerzy Dudek. Liverpool are down 3-0 at halftime, and what I'll never forget, and I only got a brief little glimpse of it watching way back here in California, but it was the Liverpool fans singing You'll Never Walk Alone with the team down 3-0 at halftime. And there's stories from the players. Luis Garcia actually has one of the best of them, saying we could hear it through the walls. We could hear the Liverpool fans singing You'll Never Walk Alone at halftime of the Champions League final with us down 3-0, getting absolutely thumped and run off this pitch by this Milan side. What do you remember about halftime in the Ataturk that night?
I remember there's actually a very good thing on YouTube with Kerry Daglish. And she says, and I agree, that she's never heard You'll Never Walk Alone sung like that before or since. There was a passion there, but also a feeling that, okay, if we get beat, you've still done us very proud to get here. And for me, it was the greatest You Never Walk Alone ever. I mean, I know there's been ones at Anfield, the Chelsea games, whatever, but I've never seen or heard You Never Walk Alone sang like that. And, you know, whether the players believed it or not, you know, to see those fans. And Steven Gerrard says, you know, he was almost embarrassed, and he didn't really want to go back to Liverpool, you know, being maybe trounced. And Jamie Carragher said he hoped it just wouldn't be four or five, because Jamie obviously is a great student of not just Liverpool football history, but soccer history, and he knew what was like the worst defeat in the Champions League final, European Cup final, and he didn't want Liverpool to beat it. So at that stage, it obviously was awful. But still, just to get there, because, you know, supporters had sold, you know, the TVs, the fridges, the cars, just to get to Istanbul, and obviously to buy a ticket as well. So there was a wonderful passion there at halftime. And I still, as I said, I felt we could do something, whether we could win it, but I thought we might at least score a couple of goals. And obviously, we scored more than a couple of goals.
Well, in 6 magical minutes, from minute 54 to minute 60, it went from 3-0 to 3-3. Risa to Gerrard. That stunning strike from Vladimir Smitser, one of the oft-forgotten heroes of that night in Istanbul. Smitser, whose Liverpool contract expired 2 weeks after that Champions League final, and definitely someone who was not expecting to play a big role in that final, came on when Harry Kewell limped off injured back in the first half. That stunning strike from Smitser, and then, of course, Jara getting taken down for the penalty, saved off of the foot of Xabi Alonso by the Brazilian goalkeeper Dida, but Alonso with the rebound, 3-3, the Jerzy Dudek heroics in extra time, the saves against Shevchenko, and of course, the penalty shootout. And that's the last thing I want to ask you about in regards to Istanbul, and I love that you bring up the intelligence of Jamie Carragher, the true student of the game that is Jamie Carragher, and he's doing oh so well as an analyst now that his playing career has wound down. And I surely see Jamie Carragher being a manager in the Premier League or elsewhere sometime very soon, but he's such a student of history, and he was, according to how the story goes, he was the guy who went to Jerzy Dudek and had showed him videos of Bruce Grobbelaar from the 1980s and the famous spaghetti legs of Bruce Grobbelaar, and said, hey, Jerzy, you should try this if this match goes to penalties. What do you remember about the doing the Dudek in the penalty shootout?
Yeah, in fact, I've been in the company of Bruce Grobbelaar many times. In fact, I did two tours with Bruce not so long ago to the West Coast. And we do laugh about that because Bruce was actually watching the game in South Africa at the time with his friends. And they all commented about Jamie, you know, obviously telling Dudek to do the Grobbelaar. But I've spoken to Dudek since an event, and he said he really didn't even understand what Carragher was saying, because his obviously his accent is so strong sometimes, and he was getting so worked up that he could just about make out one word, grobbelaar, the rest of it, he didn't have a clue what he was saying.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. And whether it's doing the grobbelaar, whether it's doing the Dudek, Liverpool goalkeepers in penalty shootouts in European Cup or Champions League finals, I swear I'm wondering, you know, whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I'm wondering who the next Liverpool goalkeeper to wiggle his legs between the pipes in a Champions League final is going to be. It's such a fascinating little mini chapter of Liverpool folklore there between Bruce Grobbelaar, Jerzy Dudek, and how Jamie Carragher tied it all together. Roy, before we let you go, let folks know how they can get a hold of you and get in touch with the Reds in America website and get on this email newsletter list.
Yeah, my email is roy, R-O-Y, dot, or period, they say in the U.S., roy.yates, Y-A-T-S, at uslfc.com. So just send me an email. I'll put you on the list. It's free of charge. And we get some real good information. And it's a nice way to meet fellow Reds throughout the United States. So roy.yates at uslfc.com.
Roy, absolutely love what you're doing. Can't wait to meet you in person sometime. And you'll never walk alone, sir.
Nice one. Take care. Good meeting you.
Again, that was Roy Yates. We'll give you that email one more time before we end the show today. We're back after this. Take the express train home right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Hey, another big thank you to Roy Yates, the president of the Florida branch of the official LFC Supporters Club, and the man who runs the Reds in America website. And again, that email one more time for all you Reds out there that want to get on that email newsletter, roy.yates, that's Yates, Y-A-T-E-S, at uslfc.com. And whether it's Liverpool or whether it's the people from supporters clubs of Tottenham here in America that we've had on the show, our Virginia Spurs down there in the great state of Virginia, our Arsenal supporters, our Swansea supporters clubs, our Man United supporters clubs. It's such a beautiful thing that lives here in the U.S. And people like Roy are to thank for those existing here in America. Again, get in touch with them. Roy Yates at U.S. Roy.Yates at uslfc.com. My name is Nate Abarea, signing off for World Soccer Talk Radio. Talk to you tomorrow. We'll close out the week strong. Love you. Bye for now.